in most of Tampa, and 104.3 FM in Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel, and North Tampa area. The Tampa Bay area is close to 4 million people. There's an awful lot of people, and there's more listeners now because we are FM and the channel is clearer, and so we are very grateful to Lola for making that happen as the owner of this station, and that's a cool thing. We're starting our second hour. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, and along with Nan, who is our poet laureate, it seems. And we've got probably Andrea right here. Let me see if that's the case. And turn on the phone line. I'm in here in the control room. Andrea, is that you?
It is me. Greetings in the name of the Lord to everyone listening, and of course to the most wonderful people there in the control booth, and of course live on the show.
Wow. Hey, it's good to hear your voice. You and Bernadette moved out to Texas, what, a year or two ago now?
Yes, Pastor. It's now been about, I guess, 2 years now.
Yeah.
That we've been back in Texas. Yeah.
Right. And we just...
when are you coming back here?
Yeah. Listen to Pastor Jim.
Well, you know, we are definitely sensitive right now to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's
like
definitely some movement going on. We don't know the direction. We both know in our hearts that God wants us to move from this complex, but we just don't know the direction. So we have to step out in faith into the unknown.
Okay.
And I'm sure God will definitely guide.
All right. And we want your take on, you've been listening to the show, I take it, this afternoon.
Well, you know, the enemy kind of put a log in the road. And, of course, I've been having some technical difficulties trying to get to listen to the show.
Oh.
I got the last 5 minutes of it.
Really?
But,
okay.
I understand we're in First Peter.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, we've been talking about the fact that, you know, you're in the will. And in the will, there's a provision that God has that allows us to go through trials and tests and problems so that we grow our faith. And as we grow our faith, we become more like Jesus and we get stronger and stronger. And even though a lot of us don't like that idea that we have to go through stuff in order to get stronger, that's really the will. That's part of the will right there. And so that's what we've been talking about. You want to comment on that, about the importance of the trials and tests?
Well, I mean, personally speaking, of course, I've gone through trials, many, many trials in my life, and you're right. Our faith gets tested through the struggles that we go through.
Yes.
But only in the struggle, only in the heat of the battle, do you begin to truly look up and say, you know, my God, I need you.
Right.
And I need you for you to deliver me right now. And I think at that time, your faith just, I mean, it can only grow in him.
Right.
And lately, I can speak probably for the last 6 months, literally, we've been in a spiritual battle. Of course, as we know, the scripture says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness.
Right.
And there are so many things going through in our lives here. My health has, obviously, I've spoken with you.
Yes.
About some of the health concerns, but my faith as a result of that has just gotten stronger.
Amen.
And stronger. And, you know, to God be the glory. But yes, I wholly agree with the fact that struggles, the battle, the daily difficulties we go through are there for one reason, and that is to grow more like in his image.
Amen.
I mean, if we recall back and go back to Genesis when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness.
Right.
And after the fall, of course, as we know, there was some disobedience, and God, you know, came out in the cool of the day, and he started calling out for Adam. He said, Adam, Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
And, of course, Adam at the time, afraid, scared,
right.
His eyes were open. Sin had entered into his life.
Right.
And God at that point, of course, his heart broke. God knew he did not see that spirit of life in him anymore.
Right.
That image of likeness was now darkened by the spirit
right.
of death.
Yeah.
And it's just a struggle that we have gone through all our lives. And so the closer we get to him, the closer our faith now begins to grow in him, especially, of course, First Peter is a great discipleship epistle. That image begins to come back.
Yes,
that
yes.
That life of victory begins to come back, because as our faith begins to grow, new things become visible. Blessed is the man, the scripture says, of course. And only when we begin to really, truly seek the Lord, he begins to show favor. He begins to show blessing.
He sure does.
I can just tell you just a little bit of what God is doing here in Texas. There are so many blessings and so many favors, despite the daily struggle.
Right.
But, oh my gosh, we can go on forever, Pastor Marcia. You know, I can sometimes just over talk, and I'm sure I'm taking time away.
No, you're both, okay.
So I see nothing. I see nothing has changed in 2 years.
Right. You're still able to talk about God in such a profound way, Andrea.
I miss that.
Yes, we miss it. But Pastor Jim, here's our announcement today, and this is why I wanted to bring Andrea on today, because she is now one of our regular radio contributors here on Living the Good Life. And you can ring the bell in there.
Yay.
We're excited about that.
I broke the bell.
Yeah. Oh, can't break the bell. And we welcome you, Andrea. And last week, Dr. Angel made her debut on. So we've added the two of you to our radio team. And, you know, that is such a blessing to us, because there's really been me and then six others. Pastor Jim hosts when I'm not here. And we've got Nan, we've got Betty and Megan and Cindy up in Indiana, Betty, Megan, and Cindy in Indiana. And now you in Texas, Dr. Angel from Indian Rocks right here locally, but a part of the ministry. And go ahead.
Well, and Nathan.
And Nathan. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Nathan over in Tampa. So we've got quite a crew now, don't we? Yeah, it's great.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing. So welcome on board, Andrea.
Thank you so much. Glad to be a part. Glad to be a part. I'm very, very blessed.
Yes. Well, we are very blessed to have you here. And while I've got you on here, you and I have talked about the Spanish show that we're doing, and you noticed, I suppose, that I sent you a show this morning. And
And I was very blessed. I listened to it. I believe it's with your 11th recording, I believe.
I think it was the 11th. Yeah.
What a blessing.
I cut three this morning. And now, in just last week was the first weekend, Starcom Radio Network has picked up our Spanish show and is playing them on Saturdays and Sundays at 6 a.m. And they're doing three of our shows back-to-back, so for a 90-minute segment. And I got a nice response today on that, and that was cool. So amidst my falters sometimes with not remembering the right word to say, as you notice, Andrea, God's blessing the show anyway, right? And you're going to start helping me with that Spanish show, right?
Yes, ma'am. I would love to be able to be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. So I sent you that information before I left for the radio station. And maybe someday you'll be going to Mexico, your país from where you were born, right?
Amen. Amen. Gloria a Dios.
Gloria a Dios. Absolutely. So we're just blessed to have the ministry expanding. So we're going to go to a song, but before we do, I just want to tell you thanks for joining us and today, and then we will put you on the schedule very soon as your schedule permits. Nan or PJ, did you want to say anything to Andrea?
I miss you, but I keep up with you on Facebook.
Yes. Me too.
Yes, we do. Oh, I miss you both. I tell you what, we are just, one day we will definitely reunite. I just have that faith. We will.
Yes.
And we look forward to that. We look forward to that, Andrea.
And thank you so much for coming on board with us as part of our radio team. So
God bless you.
I'll talk to you this week, and we'll chat about all the details, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Listen to this song, one of my favorites. In fact, I used this on one of my Spanish shows this morning in Spanish. Word of God Speak by Mercy Me. Love this song. Listen.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're. Let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's
all right.
Okay.
It's okay. Woo, word of God, speak. Pastor Jim, I don't know about you, but I don't know what I'd do without the word of God. You know, it sees me through all the time. Mm-hmm. Word of God, speak. God speaks through the pages of our Bibles. So many people don't even get that, don't understand it.
Well, and I really like this song because, you know, Bart Millard, the lead singer, you know, the song is finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, that's okay.
Yeah,
the last
okay.
thing I need to be is to be heard.
Right.
And
yes.
You know, I think of that sometimes we just don't listen.
Right.
And it's easy, even as we read the word, to have our minds going somewhere else.
Right.
Or to be, I don't know, to get just all cluttered. And I like this song because it says just get in the word.
Yeah.
Just and let the word speak, because
yes.
if you're busy yakking away, then you're not going to hear what God's telling you through the word.
That's it.
And you know, sometimes, you know me, I've got, you know, hundreds, thousands of Bibles. Sometimes I just have to pull away from like the study Bibles.
Right.
Just so there's nothing distracting me from the word.
Exactly.
No little
just
footnotes,
get the word.
You know,
right.
No little footnotes that, you know, and
right.
I'm not, believe me, I love footnotes.
Right.
You know that. But sometimes I just need the text.
Right.
Not all the notes.
Because God just so speaks through those mm-hmm. simple words. And you may have read that passage several times, and then all of a sudden it really just comes alive to you again in
well,
a profound way.
And I've said this, well, and we've all been saved for
a long time.
Yeah. We won't go into the amounts here. But it's been a long time.
Right.
And, you know, and the one thing that has held consistent in my life, even when I would try and run away from God, I mean, there may be periods of a few weeks when I wouldn't, But consistently, ever since I got saved, I have read the Word. And consistently, right. every single year,
yes,
something else pops up.
Right.
It's like, really? When did you put that in the Bible?
Right. That's it. That's Even what though, I'm saying. Yeah. So many times we just, it seems like brand new to us, right. you know? Nan, do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, yes, I would.
on that okay, one, go I ahead.
Would. The, you know, you talk about Pastor Jimmy, all of a sudden, where'd that come from? I have discovered that you can, I think you've told me, Pastor Jim, that there's apps on in Play Store that you can get that will read the Word to you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I downloaded that before I left the house, and I put in the same chapter and let it read it to me, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see Pastor Marcia. This is really a live Word. Wow. Oh, it said that there. I don't recall that. And yeah. we've gone through this. You know, we've read this. But for some reason, hearing it read to me, it just all came alive. And I didn't see that one before, you know?
Right.
Well, it just came alive.
One thing in the first century and, of course, in the synagogue, you didn't just take your Bible with you and read it to yourself. Somebody read those passages.
Right.
And you know, especially like the way that in the synagogue, they read, you know, all through the first five books of the Bible.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes you're reading four or five chapters at
right.
a time.
Right.
And I just think of, you know, praise God for people who can sit and listen that long. But that's so true, because that was the pattern. You would hear the Word. Faith comes by
hearing
and hearing by the word of God.
That's right.
Paul could say that because when, you know, he sent the letter of Romans to the church in Rome, they didn't just, you know, get to the Xerox machine and run it off and say, okay, everybody read this.
Right.
What they did was, I'm sure they called a church meeting and they read that book from start to finish.
Oh, you know they did.
And, you know, I think of Nehemiah when... You know, they spent a third of the day praising God, a third of the day reading the Word.
Standing up,
mind you. Yeah.
Like I'm doing right now in the control room.
It's like,
wow.
Man, I want that kind of,
yeah.
of faith. I want that kind of, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, gumption for
right.
God.
Right.
You know? I want that kind of dedication to where I could sit through listening. Does somebody just read the book
exactly.
of Romans?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, let's look at verse 18 here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. I like that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb, and this was no afterthought. Even though it is only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of the sacrifice Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God and you know you have a future in God. This was God's plan. Just like when a person writes out a will, they have a plan. They know what they're going to do. They put it in writing. They get it notarized. They leave it with their attorney, whatever. They have the plan. They knew what they were going to do. They thought about it a long time, made the decision, and then carried it out. This is what God the Father did with Jesus. You want to talk about that, PJ?
Sure.
Ooh, well, I love that. Deep consciousness of God. Woo.
Well, yeah, we need to remember that we weren't bought back, you know, with anything cheap. It was Jesus' blood that bought us back.
Exactly. Yes.
And this was not like it says in the message, an afterthought. It was foreordained. I mean,
right.
God knew. And this is the part that just blows my mind completely.
Right.
The Lord knew when, from eternity past, long before the creation of the world, what was going to happen and what was going to have to be done.
Exactly, yes.
It wasn't like when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. You know, it wasn't like God went, oh, what am I going to do now? I got to find someone to fix this.
Right.
He knew what was going to happen.
That's right.
And he knew that eventually the word, Jesus, would be sent.
Right.
None of this came as a shock.
No. This was all part of the plan.
It's all part, and it's been part of the plan from eternity past. And that's what amazes me.
Yes.
Sometimes.
It does.
God foreordained this. He foreknew that we would come to him.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It is amazing. Look at verse 13. So roll up your sleeves. This is 1 Peter 1:13. Roll up your sleeves. I like that. Put your mind in gear. That means we have some responsibility of keeping our mind in gear or letting our mind slip out of gear, which happens to a lot of us a lot of time. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. Talk to me about all that, Nan. That's verses 13 through 16 in 1 Peter 1. Don't allow ourselves to be pulled back out of being sincerely committed to God, you know?
I think that's why it's so important that we do spend time in the Word and pray, which we've already spoken about, so that that little trap doesn't catch us, you know?
Boy, I agree with that.
You know, it's easy to slip into that. I mean, it really is easy to slip into that when you're not staying fueled with spending time with the Lord and spending
Very
time
easy.
In the Word. It's easy for that to happen. If it happens, you just say, oh, Christ, please forgive me. Get back on the wagon and keep on going.
Right.
You know, don't belabor or beat yourself up because you messed up, but just move forward. Move on out, Army. Soldier, you're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. You want to comment on that,
PJ,
before we go to the song?
Yeah. In the Amplified, it says, so prepare your minds for action.
Yes.
Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Oh, yes.
There's a real key to living a victorious life is fixing your hope on the grace of God that's to be revealed. Like Jesus, you know, he looked past the cross.
Right.
You know, despising its shame, yet he rejoiced because he knew what was on the other side.
Oh, amen.
So we, in this life, we do fix our eyes on the grace that's going to be revealed to
us.
When Jesus comes back. I mean, I love that. Fix our eyes on it.
Focus. Get there. Listen to this song. We're going to talk more to PJ and Nan in just a moment.
I've done every devotional, been every place emotional. Tried to hear a new word from God, and I think it's very odd that while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon the shelf with every promise I could ever need. And the word was, and the word is, and the word was. Tailored suit, does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. Thank you. discover all the ground that I have covered. Like, seek ye first, what a verse. We are pressed but not crushed, perplexed but don't despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong.
Love that song. Very different. The word was, the word is, and the word will be, and the word is Jesus, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word was, the word is, the word will be, and the word wants to work in you, dear listeners. And that's what is so powerful here. When we roll up our sleeves, like it says in 1 Peter 1:13 in the Message Bible, roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, and be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. We can learn all about that wonderful gift, the future that he has for us, the rewards he has in store for us. We can get in gear and get ready and become more effective right here, right now, if we understand the power of the Word of God, Pastor Jim.
Amen.
Because it is so powerful.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's living, active.
Yes. I
mean, you look at all the things the Bible says about itself. It's God-breathed.
Yes.
I mean, wow. I mean, that just blows my mind right there. And
yeah.
I mean, it's alive. It's
right.
It's not just dead letters.
Yeah.
It's alive. It's alive because it's alive because God said it.
Right. God said it. Yes.
And because it's alive, it's a source of life.
Exactly.
For us. I mean, you know, like you said before, I don't know what I'd do without the Word of
God.
Oh,
absolutely. Oh. Well, doesn't Hebrews say that the word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able, is this Hebrews 4:12, I think, mm-hmm. It's able to go down on the depths, on our insides, into our emotions, into our soul realm. It's able to separate truth from lies, from depression, from, you know, truthfulness, you know, so,
and it's able to expose us to ourselves.
It does, and it shows us.
Don't you just hate it when the Bible does that?
No, but it does. I mean, it exposes a sin in our lives.
Right,
yes.
It exposes something, an outright sin or maybe an attitude or whatever.
Right.
And because it's sharper than a two-edged sword,
right,
God can use it as a scalpel to cut that part out.
Oh, that's exactly right.
You know, maybe it's a bad attitude that needs to be gone.
Right.
He can use it, the word is a scalpel.
Right.
As we maybe claim promises, say like you'd mentioned, maybe it's depression. Well, maybe I need to claim Psalm 30. You have turned my mourning into dancing.
That's right. Amen.
And that uses the word to kind of cut out that little bit of depression that's left.
So what we're saying here in this series, You're in the Will, is that we can actually walk in so much victory if we realize the power of the Word, that the Word is a gift to us. We don't have to wait to heaven to get to our gifts. We have gifts now. We have promises for now. We have health. We have prosperity. We can be mentally alert. We can stay out of depression and self-pity. We can walk in the promises. Nan, it's your turn to talk, but we can walk in all those. I know it's hard for Pastor Jim and I to shut up today. We're on a roll. But you know what?
It's fine.
We can walk in all that, but it comes from the Word. That's where our strength comes from.
The word is very important in our lives. I can tell a difference in me if I don't spend time in the word like
I can tell a difference in you.
You and I have had these discussions.
When you're not in the word. Yes, I can.
Sometimes your question to me is, and so, Nan, how much time have you
spent?
Have you been in the word?
When was the last time you've been spent time in the word, Nan? And you, of course, don't want to answer that, but but you do.
I do. I mean, but it is just, it's our lifeline. The word is our lifeline. And it's our guide. It's our guide to.
Absolutely, it is.
To,
yes.
To living. It's
right.
Our guide to, you know, all the answers that we need are in the word. And that's why we need to spend time in the word. You know,
right.
And sometimes I'll be reading places and I'll be a scripture go, I remember that. You know, being raised in the church, you know, we're exposed to a lot of the word.
Right.
And, you know, I'm the type that I can't necessarily come to you and say such and such is in such and such. I haven't.
You don't remember where the address is for the verses?
I don't know where the address is, but the Lord brings the verse
right
to mind when it needs to be.
Right.
And for myself or if ministering to somebody, you know, that scripture will all of a sudden come up and I'll go later, wow, God, I've done this. You're pretty cool, God. You brought that scripture back up to memory so I could share with that person
exactly
at that particular
right.
time.
That's how he does it.
If we don't read the word, we don't have that.
We've got to build the reservoir. It's in there. We have got to, it activates it as we read it and bring it to remembrance. You right. want to comment on that, PJ? I mean, there's no substitute for spending time in the word.
There just isn't because, first of all, it sets it in our mind.
Right.
And from there, it gets in our hearts.
Right.
And from there, it comes out of our mouth.
Right.
And that's the important thing, that we get it in our mind so that we can get it in our hearts. You know, God will drop those scriptures into your hearts. And then when something happens, we can, boom, speak the word.
Right.
And again, going back to that thing about it being a sharp two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, mm-hmm. which is the word of the Lord. John's
yes.
revelation of Jesus when he saw Jesus, what was coming out of Jesus' mouth to execute judgment? A sword. A sharp two-edged
yeah,
sword.
Exactly.
In Psalm, 149, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged
sword
in their hand
in their
to
hand.
Execute judgment on the enemy.
And that's how we do it.
Amen.
And that's part of our will. Part of the will that we have inherited is a powerful weapon called the Word of God. And when we use the Word of God like it's supposed to be used, and use it as that weapon and stand against the tricks and schemes of the devil with the word, for instance, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. That's one of the most powerful promises in the word. And when we use that, the weapon of that causes the devil to cower and run.
Mm-hmm.
Because greater is he, which is Jesus, in me than he that is in the world, which is Satan. And so when Satan realizes, oh, his number's up, and we realize that we are more powerful because we have Jesus in us and we have the word. Wow, look what happens.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Look at verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it.
Because they do.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Because in the will, there's this whole thing about love the Lord your God with all your strength, your soul, your mind, your heart, and your neighbor is yourself. Whoa. And of course, this breaks down with a lot of people that don't have much regard for themselves, feeling very inferior and worthy, condemned, etc. And so it's hard to really walk in those promises when they don't feel that they are special and loved and all of that.
Well, and that's so true, because been there, done that.
Right.
We, you know, Jesus said, people are going to know you're my disciples by your love.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. The world ain't seeing a whole lot of that from professed believers.
No.
It's just not happening. And that is so wrong, because That's how Jesus said they're going to know that you're Christians.
That's right.
Is by your
by
love.
By your love.
By the way you respond.
That's right.
And here it says, you know, because of your obedience to the truth, you've purified yourself and you love.
Right.
And, yeah, sometimes it's very hard to love ourselves. But again, the promise is, first of all, know that God loves you.
Right.
No matter what, he loves you.
Right.
And he wants the very best for you. So that is helpful. It's because for me personally, when I realized, oh, he loves me even when I screw up.
Yes.
Even when I do the same stupid things.
Yes, he does.
He still loves
me.
He
does.
And that helps me to love myself, which in turn means I can love my neighbor.
That's exactly right.
The greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor.
Right. And so when we start practicing that, we realize that we are being blessed all over the place, mm-hmm. and that's part of the will.
Right.
Part of the will is that God wants us blessed, and as we love ourselves and love God and then in turn love others, we get blessed in return.
And we bless the other people because what they're going to see is Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
absolutely.
That really, really, really old song, They Will Know We Are Christians
By
Our Love.
Campfire song.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that from church camp way, way back in the dark ages.
Oh, so true.
But how else is the world going to know?
Right.
What they're looking at is unity. I mean, Jesus said that we may be one. Father, he prayed, even as we are one.
Right.
So that the world may know that I have sent them and that you have loved them even as I have loved them.
Oh, absolutely. That's it right
and
there.
That's where, in general, the devil, yeah, he attacks us individually in a lot of ways, but corporately as the church, as the body of Christ, he attacks our love and he attacks our unity, because those are the two things
right.
that show the world the true manifestation, the true love of God in the world is our love for each other, our love for God, our love for our neighbor, and the unity
Absolutely.
That we're supposed to have.
And when we don't walk in all that, we don't receive the blessings of the will.
Amen.
Because the will is contingent on those things that God said to us. Nan, talk to us.
Well, I was thinking, you know, how many times have we heard it said, and they call themselves a Christian, you know, and when you have
right.
to watch what you say to people who are non-believers. You know, you rip apart someone at church. You talk about someone at church.
There you go. That's a
good
point, Nan.
That's really stupid.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's just flat out stupid. You know, you shouldn't be, instead of talking to some unbeliever about that, you should probably be praying about that.
Send
you should
a
be getting
request.
The word about that. What'd you?
Send a prayer request.
Send
your prayers
prayer request.
At bohmglobal.com.
Yeah. But I mean,
right.
you know, we have to just be careful, because that unity in a church, unity amongst Christians is so extremely important.
It's
so important.
It's an excellent point. Let's listen to this song by Casting Crowns. The word is alive. And it is. It's what we've been talking about. It's alive.
Looking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, he began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the word is alive. Breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive.
the page. Eternity secrets revealed. Carry on from age to age. Speaks truth to us even still. And as the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns. Lord, let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit you deserve. With eyes wide open, let us see. The word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who
praise God. The word is alive. Love that song. Love that song. Oh, that just reminds us that what we've inherited is this ability to hear the voice of God, PJ, straight from his word, and for it to be a one-on-one conversation with God. It's amazing to me that the word is alive, and as it is alive, it changes us, and we can rely on the truth of it and the wisdom of it and the strength of it and the peace it brings, the joy it brings, the way it changes our mood, changes. I can tell you times where I've been like down and out for the count, discouraged about something, and I pick up my Bible and I start reading it, and just it's almost instantaneous. It starts changing me. Talk to me.
Ditto. No, I mean, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the show before, but I know if for whatever reason I oversleep. You know, episode of Lucy I want to watch in the morning.
Episode of Lucy.
Of I Love Lucy.
All right.
For whatever reason, if I don't spend my time
right
in the Word and with God, I can have a reasonably okay day, but it's still...
There's a difference, isn't there?
It doesn't go right.
Isn't there a difference?
You know?
I mean, when you really do consciously wake up and say, Lord, I give you this day. Help. We talk about this a lot on this show because it works. Lord, I give you this day. I ask you to lead me. I ask you to guide me through the day. I want to be a blessing to those around me. Lord, open doors of opportunity for me to be able to share a smile or a hug or a word from you. Whatever it is you have in store, I'm the vessel. Call on me. See me, I want to do that. Nan, talk to me about that, because it's that readiness, I believe, to be what God wants us to be no matter what's going on in our lives, and to allow those opportunities to come our way, to that we walk through them and accept them. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Nan.
Go ahead, Pastor Jim.
Go ahead, Pastor Jim. She was tongue-tied.
Yes, tongue-tied.
Which is a rare occasion.
It certainly is.
But it's so very true that one of the things I've been praying for myself and other people is that they would just develop that hunger.
Yes.
You know, for the Word, that hunger to get in the Word.
Amen.
Because I believe that getting in the Word, it's kind of like a big old cycle. The Word leads to wanting to be more intimate with God, which leads to want to be in the Word more. You know,
that's exactly right.
It's kind of a cycle that feeds on itself.
That's
which
right.
Is that one is a good one.
Right.
That's a good. You know, it's like the addiction cycle. This is a good thing.
Right.
Because you want your intimacy with God to grow, and that leads you to want to get in the Word more, because that's one of the ways you can find out.
Right.
And then as I'll pick up the Word and I'll just pray it. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I do the same thing.
Which leads to more intimacy with God, which leads me to get back in the Word.
You're exactly right. I do the same thing. I pick up my Bible, and sometimes, there's no set pattern or whatever. Just start wherever I turn to or something I may have been reading. Just start making it personal and praying mm-hmm. it, like you just said. A good example of that is Psalm 1. I am blessed because, all of those things, and because I don't sit in the seat of scoffers or walk in the way of sinners or, all that stuff. But my delight is in the law of the Lord. Make it personal. My delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law I meditate both day and night.
And I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which I shall bring forth my fruit in
season. Exactly. And whatsoever I do
will prosper.
And when you start doing that with the word, especially in the book of Psalms, it changes you. Nan, mm-hmm. you want to comment on that?
I love Psalms.
Yeah, I do too.
I love Psalms 51.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That's David's cry of repentance.
It's a great place to start is in Psalms.
Right.
With John too. But, Psalms, because there's so much wealth of information there.
So much
wealth of... I don't want to say filling, but just wealth, just a lot of wealth there.
Yeah.
And you can feel like, in Psalms 51, there's been times I was able to really feel that, because of whatever was going on in my life,
Right.
There was a time period that I had walked away from God because of what had happened in another church a long time ago, I had to ask God, please forgive me for walking away. I mean, I was hurt, and in human's eyes I was well justified, but not in God's eyes.
Right.
So the word can help to sharpen us to realize, how we need to move, when we move forward. We're in the will. Mm-hmm. And there's so much in the will that is there for us, just for the taking, just for the asking.
And when we go back to our metaphor of a will that is written by a benefactor, a person, your great grandfather or somebody in your life or a spouse, and they write a will, then there are specifics about who gets what, mm-hmm. right? And these are usually wonderful things, not bad things, Think about that. You're in the will. God has written the will already. It's right here as I stand here in the control room. It's right in front of me. It's the word of God that we've been talking about today. We have played music about word of God speak to me. Word of God come alive in me. Word of God do a work in me. Word of God change my attitude so that I become more like Jesus. That's in the will of God for you. It's not just in the will of God for me. It is in the will of God for every one of us that we become like Jesus, that we act like him, that we begin to be sweeter, kinder, more lovely.
Sweet, kind, and lovely be.
And we tease about that, but that's what my dad said to my sisters and I as we were growing up, my pastor missionary dad. When we would misbehave, he'd sit us down and it became a joke, but it was so true. And he'd point his finger at us. He had a finger like mine, kind of arthritic there. And he would say, sweet, kind, and lovely be. And it was because, that was kind of attitude adjustment time, No, I don't claim that arthritis anyway. It's just crooked. So anyway, but, Nan, as we've been talking about this, we can all benefit from the blessings of God more than we are doing right now. We are living a lot of times just haphazardly, nonchalantly, getting through the day, getting through the week, getting through the month, getting through the next year, and we don't appropriate all this. That's why I'm fired up to teach this, because we've got to realize the blessings that are there for us, and why not receive them? Mm-hmm. Why not go after them? Why not dig them out? Why not find them? You know what I'm saying? My grandmother, years ago, when all of us were little girls, she would make us each a birthday cake. And sports person that I wasn't crazy about the birthday cake that grandma made, because it was always a princess. And her skirt was, this big cake, okay? And it was a little doll in there. But the deal was that she hid a dime in there. And in our birthday cake. And of course, the birthday person would get the dime, whoever found it. But it was just kind of a joke that grandma always hid a dime in there. But we had to cut into the cake to get the dime. Back then, a dime meant a lot more than it does now, guys. Yeah. This was a few years back. But you know what I'm saying? It required cutting into the birthday cake, regardless of whether or not I liked that kind of cake. It didn't matter. I wanted the dime, okay? So I wanted the blessing that was in Grandma's birthday cake. Talk to me, Nan, and then Pastor Jim. We'll wrap some up. We're getting close to the end here.
Well, we just need to follow suit with what you did. Cut into it. Cut into the Word of God.
That's right.
You know, just cut in. I mean, cut into the Word of God. Both of you could quote where this is, but there's a scripture that talks about consuming it. I eat the Word.
Thy words Thank were you. Found, and I did eat them. You know?
And they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Yes, we
One
do
One of
know
Pastor's favorite verses.
One of my favorite verses, Nan. You should know that.
I know that. That's why I said it.
Okay. But you're right. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I consumed them. They became a part of me, just like that birthday cake did for me so long ago.
Well, and kind of following up on that, too, like manna, you know, the bread of angels, as it were.
Right.
But manna is symbolic. The manna that the Israelites had was symbolic of the Word of God.
Right.
And how often did they receive their manna? Once a week? Once a month? No, it was every day.
Right.
They needed that manna fresh every day, because if you let it sit out,
that's right,
it got wormy.
Right.
And I'm not saying the Word of God ever gets wormy, but the point is, every day there was something
right.
fresh in the Word for them and for us. Every day we need that manna from heaven.
Oh, we need it. Absolutely. So if we're going to appropriate all these blessings that are ours, it takes rolling up your sleeves, like we've been talking about, putting your mind in action, getting up sometimes. You know, a lot of people tell me, well, I would read the Bible more, Pastor, but every time I sit down to read the Bible, I fall asleep. Well, of course you do. That's a trick of the devil. You're not going to sit down to read your favorite romance novel and fall asleep, I bet. Right, Nan?
I don't read those. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Right, Pastor Jim?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So you're because what happens is the devil doesn't want you to read the Word. Why? Because the power is there.
Right.
The power is there. It's alive. So the power is there, so he doesn't want you to read it, so he's going to make you very drowsy. So if that happens, I tell people, stand up, like I'm doing right now in the control room. Okay? Stand up and walk around. Okay? And read your scripture. I used to do this all the time years ago when I was going through some tremendous battles as a young person with new little kids and all this stuff. I would get my Bible and I'd walk around my house and quote the Word out loud. Don't allow the devil to put you to sleep. That's exactly what he wants to do. I'm going to give you each an opportunity before we wrap up here. We just got a couple minutes for each of you. Final words, Nan.
I have just a short poem. It's called Open My Will. Hmm. When you don't know what to do, pick up my word and hear what I say. Listen to all that I speak to you there as you meditate and diligently pray. Hmm. You will feel me engulf you in such a way you will hear what I have to say. Allow my words to speak to you. It will help you through your days. So, child, look to me for all you need. You're in the will. There's so much there. Read my word to learn all about it. You will realize of this while in prayer. Open my will.
Praise God. Open my will. I like that. Okay. Thank you, Nan. And as always, thank you for being a wonderful, faithful part of this radio team. Pastor Jim.
You know, we've covered so much again today.
Today we have.
Wow.
Yeah, we have.
But I think, you know, just a few key points for everybody to remember is, like Nan said in the poem, stay in the will, stay in the word, find out what's in there for you, and then read it, meditate on it, get it in your spirit, and speak it out of your mouth.
Speak it.
And, you know, a lot of, well, some study Bibles come with little things in the back, you know, where to find help when this is going on, that's going on. I know every Gideon Bible I used to own had one of those.
Sure.
But, or get yourself, you know, maybe a pocket promise book.
Right.
Something that, say you got a situation going on those are great ways to just find a scripture quickly, especially if you don't, if you're not all that familiar with it. Maybe you're kind of new at this. You've never done this before.
Right.
That's a great way to be able to pinpoint a scripture specifically for your need.
Absolutely.
And then meditate on that scripture, read it, think about it, speak it out, personalize it like we talked about before, and speak it out of your mouth, because you will then start partaking of the will.
You will. You will be partaking of the will. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you, Nan. And dear ones, it's always a joy to be with you week after week right here on Living the Good Life. Now in our 10th year and almost ready to celebrate our 500th show, and that is pretty darn cool. So anyway, go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com, to find out more about the ministry. And send in your prayer requests to prayers@bohmglobal.com, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Tune into our Thursday night life coaching show. Starts at 6:06 p.m. It's with me, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. And don't forget that we also have all three of our shows on Starcom Radio Network now. Starcom, four words, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And starting at 10 a.m. every Saturday and Sunday for this show, at noon for Go Yard. It's not far to Jesus. It really isn't. And please know that we're going to be right here again next Sunday afternoon, God willing. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Nan bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week.
Your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From far, it's not far from me.